Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 643, A Quieter Place.
The Quieter Place.
That's fair.
Yeah. That's how do they not call it A Very Quiet Place?
Or even A Quieter Place.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, I guess it's not a quieter place. It's still the same place.
I guess.
It's been 3 seconds since the last
That's
film.
Fair. That's fair. I always like the... like the throwback kind of stuff. Like when the Conjuring first came out, it did that like old 70s like credit roll.
Yeah.
Like in the very beginning. So like A Quiet Place Part 2 is just like a nice little throwback to like the old 80s slashers where it's like Friday the 13th Part 2.
Yeah.
Or just, well, you know, like I like that little.
I also think they realized that they had multiple. I mean, John Krasinski didn't write the original in mind to have sequels. Like,
yeah.
But once they figured out
did
they
he write that?
Yeah.
Oh, I
co-wrote
thought he,
it, right?
I thought he did
okay,
like a rewrite.
Maybe, yeah. But they didn't have sequels in mind. So once that idea came to place, it's like, oh, this is a part two. And clearly, oh, I've got a part three I'm working on.
Yeah, clearly.
So, I mean, these movies make buku bucks.
Yeah, and they're, I mean, you know, on the cheap end, too.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
and not in a bad way, but like they're not
the most
smart about it.
Right.
But yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly. That first one, they did not think that they were ever, that was... a very self, even though it ended on kind of a.
But also, when you kill your main actor, you're just like, well, this is all we're doing in this one.
It didn't need it though; it was self-contained.
Absolutely.
Like, when they sit there making a sequel because it made a crap load of money, I'm like, okay. And I didn't watch any trailers, didn't read anything about it at all. You know, and
I had to go back and rewatch the first one because I was like, man, I don't totally remember what happened at the end of that first one.
I didn't
one.
Get a chance to, but I mean, it just I was like, oh, the first one's so good, and I didn't see any necessity for a sequel.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll get into
we'll get
it.
Into we will
it.
Get into that. So before we get into that, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeart. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. Unless it's SoundCloud, because those people are just weird.
We're not rappers.
Why to go all the trouble and then just post a podcast on SoundCloud? Like, just open your window and talk loud.
You'll get probably more.
Yeah, you'll have the same number of people. And so, anyway, that's a little... throwing a little shade at SoundCloud. Suck at SoundCloud.
Well, SoundCloud has its own uses. It's just if people use it, it's like...
it does, but not for podcasts.
Not for podcasts.
It's not a good podcast delivery system.
Nobody's going to SoundCloud.
I feel like I'm making
subscribe.
Kevin really awkward.
He goes,
right
by
now.
The way,
he's like,
our new sponsor for the week, SoundCloud.
I'm just thinking, because SoundCloud used to be like people would put their
music
on.
Yeah. And
so
it's good
like,
for that.
It's good, but I don't know why people would go. Maybe it's just because maybe there's a free membership and it's easy to post, but it's not really submitting to the podcast feeds or anything.
Yeah, MySpace is pissed that they stole their one thing that MySpace had left.
I know. I went there one time. This is now a couple of years ago, but I didn't go there for 10 years. And I went back and I'm like, oh, this is like a music video page? Like, it's just, it was all musicians.
It's also funny, like, if for all the people that complain every time Facebook tweaks what they look like.
Oh, man.
Go check out MySpace.
Because
they've never tweaked what they look
like. Oh, no. It looks different than last time I logged into it. But,
yeah, I logged in to see if my backgrounds and my music when you went to the page is still there.
That like they your MIDI file.
Yes, they cleaned it up a little bit. You used to be able to put whatever background. People would put flashing pink with like you know, stars on it, and they would flash. It was insane.
Degenerated by the Lone Rangers from Airheads popped on when went to my page.
Oh.
But it was like you could always tell when like somebody broke up on MySpace because that one girl was no longer their number one friend. She got moved out of the top eight spaces.
But you know what? You never felt lonely because you had Tom.
You had Tom. Tom
you
never
still
left.
Got Tom.
We do. That's true. Yeah. We have Tom. All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
So all the time.
All the
all
time.
The time. All the
There's
time.
There's a new podcast.
Yeah.
Coming at you.
So
put it on SoundCloud.
Although I do think MySpace, it may be on SoundCloud and you would never know. I think MySpace is actually still really popular in other countries.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like it does very well.
That
in
makes
like,
sense.
Dubai, which I know is a city. Don't at me.
Like the John Cena thing?
Oh, geez. Yeah. Don't get into the
Good
different
Lord.
Countries that you
I
can.
Love when people are like making fun of John Cena for, you know, for apologizing for calling
Taiwan
a country.
Country.
And I here's a reenactment of how that conversation went. Hi, we're with the attorneys for the movie studio.
Yeah, that's
here's
exactly
the box
right.
office potential for China. So you're going to go
apologize
yes.
in Taiwanese? Is that what he did?
No.
Well,
and
yeah,
in Chinese? No,
well,
he did.
He referred to Taiwan as a country.
But didn't he do and, didn't
in,
he,
in Mandarin.
In Mandarin.
Oh,
yes.
Did he? I didn't even see that
part.
Yes,
he speaks and studies Mandarin. So he went and did his interview in all Mandarin. And he made a mistake in not his first language.
Gotcha.
An honest mistake.
Yeah.
In a different language. And then he like profusely, and I get why, but it's like, I felt so bad because, I mean, not that I'm a fan of Cena, but anyone in that situation, he didn't do it to be a jerk. And then he apologized.
I'm a little bit more of a fan of him now that I know he speaks fluent Mandarin.
Yeah.
Would not have picked
when
that.
When he was put at the face of that company,
he
went out of his way to learn multiple languages because he knew, like, at that point, WWE was like worldwide.
Yeah.
So they're going to different countries. But yeah, he went out
well,
of his
one
way.
Of the W's stands for world.
World, yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
I
then
don't,
some of those wrestlers are.
I
know,
don't
a little...
think Hulk Hogan or Steve Austin were learning Mandarin when they were the faces of that company.
No.
You know what I mean? Like
Steve Austin was barely learning English.
He spoke fine English. And then he hit you with a stunner and walk away.
Oh, shameless plugs. I was doing those. Where I didn't even get past.
We should
the,
do an entire you... episode where you finish the plugs at the 59-minute mark.
And then we're like, and thanks.
And that's the show.
Can I pick the movie we do that for?
Sure.
It needs to either be a Melissa McCarthy movie.
No, just one of the ones directed by her husband.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course, yes.
So, also, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Shares because we're hoping you will actually share an episode in your Facebook or Twitter feed. People who were kind enough to do that this week: Richard Lawson, Chris Williams, Librarian Cynthia, Julianne Jordan, Tammy Sherman Powers, Ralph Triple, Chris Falls, Heather Sachs, Laura Conley Quiddick, Ron Johnson, Aaron Marlowe, Gabriel Lugo, Pat Andy, Brent Smith, Chris Magic Man, The Binge Movies Podcast, Brad Hyen, Ronnie Castle, The Movie Journey Podcast, Ken Holzhauser, Linda Wright, David Rosen, Matt Bassler.
Oh.
Accounts.
Now, is he related to Matt F. Bassler?
I believe
he is.
They're married.
Oh,
oh okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. We have
saw his butt on Twitter or on Facebook.
I saw his butt in real life. I was at that show.
Oh, you were there?
That's the Beastie Boys tribute.
Yeah. I was just like, well, go get it, bud.
They were really good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Except for the part where we had to look at his butt.
Look at his butt.
We have a Hulk, Invasion of the Remake, Geek to Me Radio, Colby Mack, Kathy Woods, Matt Naglia, Mike and Oscar, Chris Wilson, In Session Film, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, and Feelin' Film. So thank you very much. And also, don't forget, like I did last week, that we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us out, and that's appreciated. So there's all of that. Let's dig in.
So Like I was saying earlier,
yeah.
before the, you know, 25 minutes
the thing
of
we
the
have
plug.
To do at the beginning of
before
every show.
SoundCloud.
Before I went, yeah. So,
that's like our opening monologue, and then we get into the
It
show.
Is, right?
Yeah, right.
And see, that's the thing, too, is like, hopefully people don't just skip like 10 minutes in to start the movie review, because you have to understand there's four or five tangents
yes,
hidden within
correct,
that.
Correct.
So we make it palatable. I
Some
mean,
people get really mad about the tangents. They just stay on topic.
Yeah,
what?
No.
No,
yeah, that's
what
boring.
You may as well call this, the podcast should just be called Tangents. Yeah. Like,
well, so, look, we've invested too much time and too much money into real spoilers.
Yeah.
That's
Mark,
where we're
the
staying.
Ad campaigns, yeah. you know, the millions we've poured
Thank you,
into
the
billboards,
the beginning of movie things,
yeah,
you know, all that commercials.
Custom SoundCloud URL.
yeah. DirtyPirateHookers.com.
Oh, my
check
God.
It.
I
it
totally
works.
Forgot
every
that one.
News
yeah.
for $16 every year. It works.
and it's a joke we haven't made in 2 years.
yeah, right. Right, yeah. probably longer.
It renews on my credit card, and I never actually get reimbursed for it. So I noticed it was up for renewal soon. That's why I know. So I didn't see any necessity for a sequel. The original one was great.
It really was a perfectly
surprise
well-contained.
Hit. I mean, it was huge. And I'm telling you what, I didn't know anything going into this one, and like that it took place right after all that stuff. And I loved it.
Dude. I thought this was. Every bit as good as the first
I gotta
one.
Tell they found that we talk about all the time about the over explanation of things
yeah
and how like in sequels sometimes they go back and you're like here's 35 years of backstory we want to tell you this one is brilliant in that they don't tell you they give you enough of like little snippets of stuff we're just like oh what are we what's going on here? Like the whole Cillian Murphy Emily Blunt
Killian.
Thing Is it Killian? Mm. Oh, all right. I even said
hard
today.
Hard to see.
It's
hard.
Okay.
It's only Cillian if he's in a comedy.
yeah. yeah. but like, there's definitely.
And then in a horror movie, he's Killian.
He's Killian.
Right.
Yeah,
it's,
right.
I mean, it's really. It makes
it's
a lot of
I
sense.
Guess that makes
like,
total. When you look
really,
at it, when you think of it that way, totally
I'm a little
makes sense.
Disappointed that you didn't connect the dots.
but like, they give hints that there's something there.
Yeah.
But they never reference it.
It's cool.
They're just
the
like
way
subtle
they plant
things.
Those seeds
yes.
are great. And the fact that this one didn't go back, like you said, to where this meteoroid came from, planet whatever.
Right.
And you know, all they did is like, hey, here's day one when
right.
this all started. They throw you into it in the first movie, and in this movie, you get day one of the attack and the families and everything. And
right.
I kind of missed that motif though that they did at the beginning, and they really didn't circle back to it the days the way they did in the first.
Yeah.
one.
Yeah, because they went to like day one and then day 700.
Yeah,
but it was
474, I think, yeah.
It was cool. In my mind, though, it was cool because that was a nice homage to the first one
yeah.
with the days, and they played it out. But then they like didn't feel like, oh, there's
I will also
to that.
But I will also say the storyline for this one is pretty compressed from a time standpoint.
Yeah,
it's like real time.
It feels like it takes place over about, 48 hours?
Yeah,
because
yeah. it's the one day, and then overnight, and then it pretty much goes to the next
so
day.
So it's like they didn't have a lot of opportunity to do the days, and my guess is, because we'll get to it, but they're clearly going to have a third one.
Yeah.
When he said, that's a wrap, yeah, don't film anymore. Like, we've got enough for part two.
yeah.
Save some for part three.
I feel like my prediction is this will all end with when they finally win, because I mean that's the kind of movie they're gonna win.
Hopefully,
yeah,
or,
that it'll be like it'll go to day one
and start over,
and that's how it'll like it's like
days mounts. without
without incident.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah,
I think
it's been X days since an alien related injury in this.
Yeah. Right, right, and I think we kind of hinted at in the first one that maybe this was like a Cloverfield thing because there's really no explanation. And then we saw that Cloverfield paradox. Is that the one on Netflix?
I think so. Yeah.
That was the one where it's just like, this is like multiple things happen because of this one thing.
Yeah.
So like there were all of those different, like, right. Like that was
isn't
the,
it because they were studying the Venom symbiote.
It was, no, that was Life. That was Life with Ryan.
Life
with Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal. You're like, oh, this is a Venom prequel. Like,
Ryan Reynolds for 3 minutes.
yeah, right. That's true. Yeah, it's definitely. And that's what
spoiler.
I will say about this movie.
And, wait a minute, but then was that the one where like
Jake Gyllenhaal like crashes to Earth and he's like got the goop
yeah,
all
but
over
I was
him.
Thinking of the one where James Franco was someone's
alien,
dad in Alien. Like,
alien Covenant.
He wasn't in it except for a picture.
He's
this
in
is
it.
My dad. or something. They cut his parts out, and all he's in is in a picture.
Yes, that was the last Aliens movie.
Yeah, but
yes.
But I thought Life had a weird thing, but it must have just been Ryan Reynolds for 3 seconds.
Yeah,
yeah,
he gets the goop, and then he dies.
Yeah,
but so that's speaking of like not being in this movie. This is like John Krasinski's in it because they go to day one.
Yeah,
and I got to tell you, I don't understand like the hate behind that guy. Like, I know there's just, like, I see it all the time. Like, people, when people say, oh, he needs to be Reed Richards or he needs to do this, they're like, no, get him out of here. And I don't, and I think
his, I've never seen, I don't think, one thing of hate, just personally. From,
I just don't, I think people see him as Jim, and I think he's done a fantastic job of trying to,
not
and
be
successfully
Jim.
Not being Jim.
He's done it. I
13
mean,
Days, A Quiet Place, some other Away
he's
We
got
Go.
That Jack Ryan show.
Yeah, the Jack Ryan. Yeah. So he's
that was a long time ago. I mean, and I loved The Office, but I
think
don't know.
he took a lot of heat for that
Benghazi movie.
No, that thing he started during the pandemic of like
the good news,
because he basically stole it from a YouTuber.
Oh,
and
he did?
Yeah, like there was somebody that had been doing that for a long time, and he basically was doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And people,
and it became a huge hit.
And then he basically did like four episodes on YouTube, and people are like, you're wonderful, and let's turn it into a TV show. And then he's like, okay, cool, give me all the money, and then someone else will do the TV show, and I'm out. And so that was a little douchey. But I will also say that good news thing, like legit, WTBS, I used to watch that on Sunday mornings in the 80s.
Yeah.
They did a show like that. So, like, the concept.
Yeah. So it tracks that he would know what that was.
But, I mean, it also, like, for this YouTuber that's been doing it for a while, like, you didn't really invent it either.
Right.
Like, I remember watching that, like I said, that show on WTBS when I was a teenager.
That's like being like the morning show with not even like a TV morning show with the two news anchors and they banter back and forth. So it's like, you didn't invent that. Like, you can't really, when something becomes a part of culture,
right.
You can't really be like, oh, well,
I started
I did
it.
That.
Now,
it's
if
like,
somebody
well,
else starts a Peloton podcast,
that's a different
they're
story.
Dirty bastards and need to suffer. Yeah.
If somebody else starts a movie review podcast, no, wait.
Oh, they better not. They're, one movie review podcast
enough.
Is enough.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would even try to get into that space.
No,
so
it'd be silly at this point. Yeah.
But
here's what I
hope,
like,
it's silly and you don't go killy.
I know. That's true. That's a good point. His facial expressions and his facial acting in the first one and in this one are off the charts. Like, he is so good.
Krasinski?
Yes.
Yeah.
At conveying fear and emotion and sadness when he's not really given anything. When he's not, no,
he
there's
can't
no,
talk.
Right. But yeah. this, so what I wanted to say is,
but
this
like
is
Jim,
not,
also as Jim,
I know.
He's kind of known
he
for those
great,
reaction shots,
right?
Is the way he looked at the camera, like, what
I
is
wish
happening?
When the
exactly
aliens
right.
came and ripped some guy's head off or whatever, he looked at the camera and
just
like, get a load of this thing.
Yeah. Good Lord. But so this really isn't, like, Krasinski's in it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
But it was great. Like,
it's
it was
a good scene, though.
It was
yeah.
great to
oh,
see
great.
Him. He was excellent in it, I thought. Very natural and everything. And you got to see, it was like nice because, yeah, he's gone, but you could just see him with the family one more time.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting to watch that dynamic between, like, them, but then also the Cillian Murphy and his family, you know, and that was a great way to set it up, because you see Cillian Murphy and you're like, well, clearly we didn't know him before. It was a smart way to introduce a new character, but make them feel like you've always known them.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it was completely effective.
And the first movie is such a, to borrow a parlance from television, a bottle episode, right? That it's like, it, you don't feel like, why are we just now learning about this character?
Yeah.
Well, there was no reason to have learned about this character.
Right. But we also do know that there's people out there. Remember the scene where Krasinski's on top of the thing and we see the lights lighting up. So we know that, and that was a very effective scene in that first one with, like, when they don't light up, just like, okay, cross them off the list then, because they're gone, you know? So, but this,
and that's a nice retcon too, that he was one of them. I mean, confirmed that he was one of them.
Correct.
It played so well.
It's a perfect, it fits perfectly into,
it did.
But this is the daughter's movie.
Oh,
like, Emily Blunt is in it, but not like she was in the first one.
Yeah. As soon as I'm like, okay. Cause in the first one, you're like, she's got a baby. How the hell are you going to really get around with that? And then the kid gets stuck in a bear trap, the son.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, how are they going to do this? And then I'm like, oh, they're sidelined for this movie.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Millicent Simmons' movie.
Is that her name? Millicent Simmons. And she is, again, we talked about her in the first one. She's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
She's so good.
When she's talking about her dad, any of those scenes that have to do with their dad, and especially like the brother and Cillian Murphy, whenever they mention him or whatever, and she's like defending him, kind of, you know, doing her thing, like, you'll never be as good as him and this and that. And this is what he would do. Those are emotional scenes. And one, I mean, she's signing it.
Yes.
Right? With subtitles.
She's got,
so like,
she does have, she, I don't remember her talking in the first one, but she definitely talks
Like she has the thing that deaf people do when they kind of almost like whisper as they'll sign the words. Like,
yeah,
it's like they're still like processing it in English speaking.
Who was the gal who was on Law and Order? Who was the DA who was also deaf? The deaf actress,
Marley Maitland.
Yes,
from Children of a Lesser God.
And we'll she was also Celebrity on Apprentice.
I was also going to say,
wasn't she the one that was on Celebrity Apprentice? I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Law and Order.
I have a long. I didn't like Donald Trump before it was cool.
Oh,
so I didn't watch Celebrity Apprentice
or The Apprentice in general,
or The Apprentice or any of them.
Yeah, it's tough.
I only watched the celebrity one to watch the celebrities. Like I didn't care about the regular show. But
he hosted WrestleMania 4 and 5.
And I
five
didn't
and
watch wrestling for that very reason.
God dang it!
Yeah,
but yeah, like she's. She is so good.
Yeah.
And Killian Murphy, who we don't see as often, like he was on Peaky Blinders. That's kind of what he'd been doing recently. I just saw that his Batman audition got posted. Somebody released. Yeah.
That.
So he was up for the running Batman Begins. Mm. So they've got him in the suit, like the whole scene with like at the docks and it's not great. So like it kind
of, well, he said like in the interview too, he's like, I auditioned for it because of course, like who wouldn't, but he's like, I never thought I had a chance with that. And it got him the relationship with Christopher Nolan
and it got him
a role of Scarecrow.
That's what it said.
But I mean, but he's been in all these Nolan things because he got that connection.
But I will say his Bruce Wayne was tops.
Oh, okay.
His Batman was a little weird, but his Bruce Wayne was really good.
Yeah.
So like
Batman's weird though, because you know, you've got most of your face covered.
Yeah.
You got to do a voice change. Like it takes a very particular look with the jaw and to be able to do it with, I mean, even Christian Bale's Batman is weird, right? Like
they cover his jaw for a reason. You can only see like the corners of his mouth.
When his voice was weird. Yeah. It was like Clint Eastwood doing baby talk.
Yes, it was.
Where you look at Pattinson and that jaw, like as soon as they cast him, you see him even in like the concept art, you're like, yeah, Pattinson's got the Batman jaw.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to have, because Bale's, I mean, as much as I like those movies, the way that Bale's cowl covered his face was, I don't like a round.
Affleck and Michael Keaton.
Face.
Well, we all sort of kind of have round face. What I mean is Batman.
You're a little singled out.
No. I don't like a Batman round cowl.
Affleck and Keaton had the best cowls.
I think Keaton was very intimidating, and the jaw fit.
I didn't like the costume though because it was so stiff.
Yes.
I mean, it was what technology could do at the time.
Right,
but when he runs, he looks weird.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't move his arms when he runs. He runs like he's like animated by Hanna-Barbera.
It's like I was just watching Johnny Dangerously yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing. I thought it was like, okay, so it's just, he can't move his arms in that suit.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah,
that's how he runs.
But the thing with that, though, too, with Batman is I get why people are like, oh, this one actually moves. It's more realistic and grounded. But you're already in a superhero movie. So I never gave that credence where I'm like, well, that suit looks good. So I just never.
I guess I didn't look at it as like, oh, this one's more realistic. I just looked at it as like, it doesn't look like he could throw a punch.
Right.
Like he did
in the movie, and it looked good as a Batman cop. Like
he couldn't. It looked good when he was standing.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
When you can't turn your head from side to side, and you got to move your entire body to like, oh, no.
Right.
Look to the side.
Yeah.
But it looked great when you walked into Taco Bell.
Yeah, it
and
did.
There was the big giant standing there.
Yeah.
Like, that looked good.
It's
that
just a good design. Yeah. So you know,
he's able to play off of her, like gives it's. We talk about also like when they cast people as brothers, right? So Tobey Maguire, Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that as being these two dudes as not as brothers, but like he is an interesting replacement because he reminds me a lot of Krasinski in this movie. Like his whole look.
It was
also
a way to reintroduce that tension between her and the father figure
because
they had resolved it,
you
know, and then of course the father's dead.
Right.
But so you still kind of got that tension between her, but now it's more like she's picking up that mantle.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a really good dynamic between those two.
Absolutely.
The way that he wrote it. I mean, the fact that she's on this mission and she's learned from her dad and she wants to be like him and she wants to help save the world. And then you get this other character that is like, no, you need to stay safe. And
her dad of old, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like
that's
like
what
the
I mean.
dad from the beginning of the first one.
So it's cool how he gets to take over that role and you see the dynamic. But this time, I mean, not that she wasn't always more like, no, I'm still going to help and do whatever. But, you know, she's like, no, you know, I'm going to do this, and then gets to go on him because he lost his family and was like, you were helpless.
What a great reveal.
There's
that
nothing
was.
You could do, and now you can. And it's like, man,
that was a good line. That was a great line.
Yeah.
So here's where I got confused with her character.
Please.
Can she hear or can she not hear?
I think she can hear,
because when they cut to her POV, mm-hmm. all the sound drops, which is a cool device, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. but she's got a cochlear implant, so which should allow her to be able to hear. So now your next thing's going to be, but maybe the battery's dead. But if the battery's dead, then how does it create the feedback when they put it in front of a microphone?
I'm trying to remember,
but it never worked right.
Is that what it was?
In the first one, it never worked right. And they were fine-tuning it, and that's how they found out it could kill the monsters, like, because of the way it interfered. It made weird noises.
I took it as any cochlear implant would create that sort of a feedback loop.
I think it was because he was tinkering with it. I don't think it was any. I think it's because John Krasinski was constantly in the shop messing with it.
Okay.
And whatever
I don't remember that part.
To a frequency. Yes. It could be any, but I took it as, like, he kept tinkering with the frequency to get it to work for her.
Okay. Because
she put it on, and once they got it to, like, the best it could be, it was very underwatery. You know, it was very...
But, but isn't that how those implants work, though?
It does.
It does, but your mind adapts over time.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And so, like,
gotcha.
At first, like, and that's why people, like, if you're going to get a cochlear implant, like, you, it either needs to be... When you're a baby,
yeah.
and you have it from birth before you learn language, or if you're an adult who loses your hearing, you know,
your brain already knows
how to process language in that way.
But
like if a kid is born deaf and gets it at like 15, it's not going to do it. They'll hear sound.
Well, isn't that,
But it will probably just irritate them, and they'll never really process language.
So
right.
Because that's sound of metal, right?
Well, no, like Sound of Metal, that was just a choice that character made, because as an adult, it sounded weird to him when he put it on, and things would never sound the same,
right?
But like if he had stuck with it,
it would have
his brain would have relearned how to process sound.
I gotcha.
Although from what little I've read, I don't want to sound like I'm an expert on it. But
we just researched this for Sound of Metal, so
right.
It's kinda,
well, and I had read a watched a documentary a few years back about it that was really interesting, and I remember reading a lot about it when Rush Limbaugh got cochlear implants,
mm-hmm.
and I remember one of the things I read was that it can help you hear spoken word, but like music will never work for you again.
Interesting.
And at least that's what I remember, and maybe there's been advances, but I remember at the time thinking, like, well, that would be a special kind of hell for Rush Limbaugh, because he loved music. Like, he was
probably deserved it.
Yeah. Well, perhaps, but he was a huge music fan. And so I was just like, that would have to be very frustrating for him, because he would talk about music a lot on his show, and mm-hmm. he would play music. And I mean, I think one of the reasons Mannheim Steamroller became so popular is because he really liked it and played it a lot, and then people got exposed mm-hmm. to it because he had a large audience. And so, and you know, so it's like,
man, they would sell shows out here all, like,
oh my god, they still do. Yeah,
it's crazy.
I mean, they only got like, you know, 4 weeks a year to
yeah,
make
right.
the money,
that's right,
but
that's
yeah,
right.
But like Trans-Siberian Orchestra, yeah. But TSO, there's two of them.
Oh, that's right.
See, they got an East Coast and a West Coast.
Sneaky,
that's how they trick you.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it's like those blue men. You know?
Yeah,
all, you don't know who you're seeing. It's they're just the three blue
it's
guys.
Like, yeah, Blippi.
It doesn't matter
for our parents out there. It's like Blippi. Blippi doesn't.
Blippi's not the same guy.
No,
he doesn't. He's touring. Blippi?
He's like Krusty the Clown.
He's got a touring Blippi.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When we did that first Blippi show, people like lost their shit
because it wasn't Blippi.
When
they
were like,
they were...
"That's not really Blippi." I'm like, "Okay, it's not
your
really."
Did your kids notice?
It's not really Mickey Mouse either.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know that,
surprise.
Right? Yeah,
spoiler. So. But yeah, so like this one does, like we said, it picks up almost immediately.
Well,
oh, I mean,
cold
immediately.
Open. The cold open's great. Cold open, and you don't even see you figure what it is, but at the end of the cold open, they say day one.
Right.
So it goes back in time, and it shows you how the attack first started,
which I thought was brilliant.
That cold open
so
was awesome.
Good.
And Emily Blunt didn't rehearse that. Did you read that?
No.
Yeah.
Emily Blunt wanted genuine surprise when they captured her on film for the first time.
Okay.
She got in that car, did reverses with buses coming at her at 40 miles an hour. All that was her first take.
Dang.
First, I mean, no rehearsal. Just...
So wait, was that filmed for part one or was that filmed for
no,
this?
For part
no,
two.
For
oh,
this.
Okay, okay.
But
okay.
But she wanted to go in without That's rehearsing crazy. It. And John was like, are you sure you don't want to, like, this is a crazy scene that stuff's coming at you. And she's like, no, I want you to get my genuine reaction to a bus coming at me and being scared and all that. So
that's bonkers.
That's her.
That's like, awesome. That's...
She's like, I'm Mary Poppins, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
Oh, I forgot. I have not thought about that movie since it came out.
I haven't seen it. I heard it was actually okay. I don't know.
Oh,
I haven't
not
seen
good?
It.
Not to me, but right. I could. I
you know, honestly.
You know, I love Lin-Manuel Miranda. I love
I've
the first movie.
I've never seen the original Mary Poppins.
I've definitely seen the original a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not like it. But anyway, but I thought that was really impressive.
But they don't. Again, it's so simple where Krasinski goes into Lee, I think is his name in this movie. He goes into like a shop and the shop owner's like
Herschel
looking at,
from the walk. He just looked like Herschel.
It's
or
not,
something.
But you,
but
yeah, I know you're, no, yeah, he, know. But you know this guy too. Like, he's
yeah.
In, like,
he's like, you know, here's general store owner number
right.
two.
I always think he was on Cheers. I think that guy
he
was
does
on
look
Cheers.
Like the, you think he was on Cheers?
I think
he does
so.
Look like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, they, it's on the news. Like there's just been a, you know, like a satellite has downed or whatever. And he is just kind of walking
is
through
coach
town.
From Cheers?
No,
no,
no, no,
who,
no.
Who
well,
does that guy...
well, first off, Coach died in season 3.
Okay.
No, like the
no,
guy
but
died.
But the guy that you're talking, yeah, the guy that you're talking about though does look like someone from Cheers, but I can't place him.
He's
now.
Just like, well, he looks one of he's one of the guys who wasn't one of the guys.
Okay.
Right? Like one
the,
of
yeah,
the...
they use a lot of the same
yeah,
extras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might have been true. Yeah.
So it's just it's so simple with Krasinski walking through this small town going, you know, it's a and it's brilliant because the town is dead. Right. There's nobody on the, in town square. Like the whole drive is empty. There's nobody walking around. It's just Krasinski going from spot to spot. Mm. I love the idea that like he looks at this like there's an old woman in front of him at the store and he's like, hey, I got to go. He's like, all right, I'll see you later. So it's just like that quaint, small. Yeah. We all know each other town. They
and
get
you
to
see
the baseball game.
And you see the newscast right. That around the world. Stuff's going down and they're all like they don't really know what it is. But they see there's just like these vague attacks going on.
Not even attacks as much as like crashes. Right. Like the attacks. Right. I don't think have happened yet. Like it's the everything coming through the atmosphere and the explosions in the sky. Like
yeah,
that's what we've seen
crazy
so far.
Stuff and
yeah,
yeah.
And then you get to the baseball game and that's where everybody is and you get the you see all these kids again. You see the dead son that we right. know is gonna die at some point. There's a nice little callback to the like Krasinski's in that corner store and he walks past the spaceship that
yeah.
ends up killing like the reason his son dies later.
Yeah, that was I was that like, was a gut punch.
Yeah,
because I thought he was gonna buy it. See, they show it and I
oh,
thought
why
was,
would he buy it when they went back and get it? Remember, because in the first one the daughter grabs it like the kid wants it and Krasinski's like absolutely not. The daughter grabs the spaceship and gives it to him
from the store.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they
yeah,
already
yeah.
had it.
No,
and
no,
he didn't
no.
want to bring
oh,
it.
Maybe he goes back and gets batteries.
I think
it would have worked either way. It could have been as simple as it was a toy that he lost yeah. in the.
Oh,
the
sure,
fleet.
Sure.
I just thought yeah. he was maybe going to pick up and buy the toy that ended up killing his son.
No, because that was the deal in the first one. Is
oh,
like,
God.
She blamed herself.
Yeah, because she. He wanted it, and the dad said no, and she just took it off the shelf and gave it to him.
No, of course. I just meant that, like, if he even, like, introduced, I don't know.
Oh,
like,
interacted
to me,
with
when
it?
I saw it, I was like, oh, just, it would have been heartbreaking if he even went to
I think this is the
one,
brilliant, because if you've seen that one, yeah. you know,
I know.
What
it
that
was,
rocket
it was
ship
good.
Is.
It just, it brought back all those feelings and those thoughts in my head where I'm just like, oh, my
right,
God.
Right, right. And then, so they get back to the baseball game, and that's where he's talking to Killian Murphy, and, you know. Yeah.
And it's cool. And
we
you
see
set up
the
like,
explosion in the distance.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a minor effect, but it's so effective
yeah.
because everything stops. Like, the kid hits yeah. a ball. It's almost, we see it all the time where you're at a baseball game and somebody hits a fly ball and everybody looks up
yeah.
and there's like an alien spaceship or in Superman Returns, like a plane, you know, yeah. things that you look up and see, but it's so effective.
And I like that when they see it, they all just immediately start walking away.
Yeah. It's like, we got to go.
Like, no one even says anything about calling the game. Everyone's like, all right, goodbye.
Gotta go. Bye.
So stepping back for a second, I really like how they planted the dive thing. You know,
that
sometimes
is a
in
good
movies, call it's heavy handed.
Oh, as soon as he did it, I turned to my wife and I was like, the dive
well,
thing's going to play a role later.
I know. And that's what I mean.
The thing I thought that they planted really effectively was the old lady at the store on oxygen.
Oh,
I didn't
right.
even pick up on that until you just said that.
Yeah. yeah. Like,
so
well, that's how
sense.
She knew to go back to that store
oxygen,
to get the
yeah.
oxygen because
uh-huh,
the,
uh-huh.
the wife of the store owner was, mm-hmm. was on oxygen. I thought, to me, that was the one.
That was
as soon as he did the dive, motion, I was just like, that will play a role at a key scene in the
movie.
Of
course. Like, but I liked it. To me, it was subtle enough. Like, what I was going to say
organic.
Was, yes, what I was going to say is sometimes they really hit you over the head with it.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
In their conversation,
yeah.
when they were talking about dive into a plate of baseball, that is an organic type thing because they're talking about
in my
how
head,
do you
I was
say
like,
dive?
Why would you say, when he did that, I was like, no, slide. Why
yeah,
would you say dive?
Go for, but you slide. Don't slide. But I think
well,
sliding
slide is
with your
feet,
foot.
Feet,
yeah.
flirt, feet first,
I mean, you're
and
right.
diving is...
Dive for something. Yeah, right. yeah it makes... But anyway, so I thought...
Don't make me explain sports.
Well, he is a T-ball expert, so he would know these things. So I like how they introduced it. I thought it was organic, like Joe said, and you know, it wasn't like hitting you over the head. It was like, okay, they'd be talking about this.
Right.
So, but what he does, he plants those, whether they're like reverse Easter eggs, like we've already seen them, but this is in the past, but we've seen them in the future for the first movie. Like the way that they all play together
yeah.
was really nice. And I do like, I always like that when you get to see a setting like the general store from two time frames.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in it in the beginning and you get to see the world when things aren't all messed up.
Is that, does she go back to that?
That's the drugstore.
That's what I thought.
That's where she goes back to get the oxygen.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
And so I love it when you get to go see things all ravished and knocked over. You know, it's really cool the way that you can see like, oh boy, this is what things look like because we never saw a normal world.
Right.
And then you get to go back and so it was cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. And so, yeah, so we get the idea of the attack. We see what happens. We see, you know.
Seeing that chase, that car sequence
so
is intense.
Good.
And I'll tell you, this movie overall is like, I mean, it's like what, 92 minutes or
yeah.
something?
I gotta, that's what I'm saying,
of
man. Like
stop intensity. I mean, it hardly slows down for a minute before it ramps it back up.
Yep.
Which, I mean, this is a thrilling movie in like the best possible way because it's the tight 90 whatever minutes and you're on the edge of your seat. And like, I'm not just.
This is how you do it. You don't need. We talked about it last week. There's no reason that movie was. Which we have things we didn't talk about last week.
Well, we can't get into those.
It's not worth it.
There wasn't time. When you have 2.5 hours of movie to talk about, you have to understand. We do an hour show these days, and when yours a 2.5 hour movie, that means you have to get to stuff pretty quickly, and you can't always hit it all. But
time loops, whatever. But
so,
yes.
but this movie moves at such a nice clip, and one of the reasons they're able to do it is because in the end they don't really have to have a third act. I mean, they just cut it off.
Yeah.
But I never felt cheated. I mean,
no,
you know, like Ryan turned
either.
To me and he's like, "It's over," because he wanted more of it. But like. I was also like, oh, that was jarring. But then I was like, what a great 90 minutes I just had.
Right? Yep. Well, and it also they did a lot of cool mirroring in the movie. I thought as they took the two halves of the cast and separated them.
Yeah.
The editing was phenomenal.
They were going through. They were having similar experiences. But in very different ways, right?
So you didn't have to do full scenes with each. You could cut back and forth and save time.
And like when what's the Emmett?
Is that what
Killian's
kid?
Emmett. That's
I
Killian's
thought she
name.
Kept calling him Emmett.
It is Emmett. Yep.
When Emmett's underwater and about to run out of air,
so good.
She's in the bunker about to run out of air, right?
Uh-huh.
And like, and then there was something else like with fire, like it, so it was mirroring.
Well, in the
other.
Ending scene, of course, the parallels of the two kids killing the monsters was.
Yeah.
One shooting one shoving a pole through his head. Like,
right.
They happened at the same time.
Totally. And then the very ending of the film, skipping ahead a little bit, but mirrors the ending of the first film, right?
It does.
That it's like the first one, it was like, now we know how to kill one. And this one is like, now we know how to kill all of them.
Right. Right. And it's such a.
And so even though it is kind of like it stops mid story, it mirrors the beats of that first one in a way that's not. Like repeating the beats of that first one, you know, and
totally.
And so it's like, oh, now we know how to kill them all. Cut.
Now we're going to part three.
And of course you're going to get a part three because everybody's separated, right? It's. I mean, this is.
Oh, that's true.
This is Empire Strikes Back.
Uh huh.
Right. They're all separate.
Except they win at the end of this one.
Yeah.
Well, right.
Well, like, I mean,
there's no despair at the end.
Yeah.
At the end of Empire, you're like, what the flip are we going to do now?
Well, because they did the despair from the first one.
I guess that's
and
true.
I mean, you could make the argument that it's been. Like 48 hours.
That's,
nobody's really had a chance to mourn. The
I will
loss
say
of the
when Emily Blunt is walking, I guess, is she walking to the store? Either way,
she
like
goes to the grave first.
She
right?
walks. Well, that she has to walk past it. Like that's like the route that she has to walk. And then she takes her ring off and puts it on there. I was like, man, it's. he's only been gone 24 hours.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Pump,
so she hasn't had any
pump the brakes, yeah. sister. Yeah.
She like hasn't it's had any time to deal with it, which is what makes everything so much more emotionally impactful. When you know, whenever the dad comes up,
right?
Yeah, I realize they just dealt with this,
right?
And it's a huge thing, and it was a huge loss for us too. But you get reminded, you see the second movie, and you're like, oh crap. You know, we're right back into basically just having watched the first movie.
Right.
Start this right after. You'd
it's
be
like
feeling
Halloween too.
It, yeah. it is very much like Halloween yeah. too. Yeah, it's it doesn't take long to get
but
back
good.
Into the.
But
what
good.
Are you talking about?
Halloween
2 is good.
Okay.
It's okay, but
what I mean, are you talking about? Halloween 2
compared
is
to some
good,
of the Halloweens that came after.
Oh,
Halloween
yeah,
2
of course,
is,
of course.
Is a mess.
Halloween
just,
2 is like
I just think Halloween 1 is a masterpiece, and then when I went right to 2, I was just like, oh god.
Rick Ro- okay.
Well,
because 2
is what this movie doesn't right. do, right? 2 just repeats 1.
Correct.
But not as good. My
well,
point
yeah,
was
yes,
just that
totally,
this
yeah.
is phenomenal.
But it's, yeah, but it's not awful.
Also, they wanted to do, like, we're looking at 1981, so now you're trying to catch up to Friday the 13th, and you want more gore, and
yeah.
you want all this stuff. So that's what
right,
Rick Rosenthal
I know. So some
to
of
do.
Those parts where it totally shifts.
Yes.
I went from 1 to 2 watching them in a marathon, so I got to 2, and I'm like, well, this is quite different than what we just did in this really
why
like,
is his
quiet,
mask blonde.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wait till you find out that A Quiet Place 3 is an anthology movie.
Yeah, there you go.
It's actually Cloverfield.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it...
So shout out to Michael P. Shaver, who did the editing in this movie, though, because
okay.
the way they bounce back and forth,
yes.
because they split the characters up. Like
they
we
do,
were saying.
Yeah. The daughter and Cillian Murphy mm-hmm. go on their little adventure. The mom has to go into the store or go into yeah. the town because the kid got his, like you said, got his foot caught in a bear trap,
so he needs
meds and bandages, and then you leave the son and the baby in a bunker,
yeah,
where it's just like, golly.
And the son was always the one. I mean, what was cool, and one of the things they did in the first one was they took the stereotypes away of like, oh well, the boy is going to be the tough one,
right.
and the girl, so they made Millicent Simmons character, the daughter, the one that's like, yeah, I'm going to go help my dad, I'm going to go take care of these monsters, these aliens and all that, and the son was always like, no, stay yeah. back, stay
and
back.
He's still like that in this one,
right?
Like,
so
but I do love that scene where she's like, I have to go, like I've
yeah.
got to go do this, and he's like, you know, he I think he says like, I can't.
Talking about the daughter.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. they're having that conversation in the second one, and he says, he's like, I can't lose you too. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, yeah, this kid just lost his dad like 48 yeah. hours ago.
Right.
You know?
It really punches it up. And I think that's another reason why they wanted to remind you Krasinski was in the first one and to show him again.
Yeah.
So that when you realize he's gone, you're like, oh, I did like that character.
Yeah.
He was great. And then
yeah.
they gave him back to you for 10 minutes and took him away again.
And took him away again. Yeah.
And
it's
that
not,
was
and
a good reminder.
Right. And you didn't have to see him get gutted or torn to yeah. pieces. It's just like, oh, we know what's going to happen to him.
Yeah.
So when you get to see him as a dad, as that yeah. character that we kind of fell in love with, right?
Yeah.
As the dad who's doing whatever he can to protect him.
Yeah.
Oh,
it is like a year and a third
yeah, yeah, yeah.
later, so, though. So it's not 48 hours after we lost him. Because it goes
is that
day
right?
400 and whatever, whatever.
But, No. Yeah, but day 400.
Oh, since the first attack.
Yes.
Not since we lost him.
Yes,
sorry,
yes,
sorry.
Because this picks up
yeah.
almost immediately.
I just wanted to make sure. Sorry, so to set the timeline, this movie takes place in day 400 or whatever from the attack. So you realize that people have had a year to acclimate themselves to the monsters,
right.
learn about the sounds, study them. You see Krasinski obviously has been doing all the research
yes.
down in his basement. So I apologize. I just wanted to clarify, like, the timeline they show you is goes from day 1 to day 476 or
right.
something like
right,
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that I don't think they did in the... We didn't know what day it was. We just knew where we were.
Oh, they did, right? They showed the
in
day...
In the first one?
The numbers.
Yeah. They showed it throughout. Like
in the first movie?
Yeah.
Oh. Man, I don't remember that
you
at
just
all.
Watched it.
I did, but I don't remember that at all.
Yeah,
you must have been multitasking.
Yeah, because that was one of the... It's a quibble. Saying I don't like it is a bit much. But I missed the periodic, like, here's what day you're on. But again, the story doesn't
yeah.
move far enough in time to
right.
really...
You would have done it twice, one
yeah.
for each day, and I
and
just
it
think it would have been...
Totally. No,
day 476, 477.
We got a 92-minute movie or something,
yeah.
like,
yeah, right.
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, totally.
But... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I love how tight this movie
yeah.
is.
Yes.
There's nothing wasted
no,
in this movie.
Nothing.
I'm impressed when I go back and think about all the beats of the story and how you're following three separate adventures, you know, three
yeah.
separate things simultaneously, that they fit all that in. And
yeah.
the only way they can do that is by cutting any fat. I mean,
right.
there is nothing.
No, and I don't think that's, like we just talked about with Army of the Dead, right? Like, if you're telling a story, something like this, you don't need 2.5 hours. Like, Krasinski and his editing team and everybody that was involved in the creative process of this movie knows that they if this is going to work, right, and if it's going to be good, then they need to keep it tight. And you don't need, and it's we talked about. I don't need to know what planet these things came from. Right. I don't need to know where these came from. I need to know that they're here, and they're lethal, and they cannot be stopped except for this one thing that we saw in the first movie. And
I think when a franchise or a series runs out of gas, sometimes
that's
it's
when they
interesting.
Speaking
to
of
go back.
Like Halloween, we're like, oh, by the way, it's Laurie Strode's brother.
Right. It's like,
what?
Because it's
what
like,
do
okay,
you mean?
We've done all this. What are the questions that still need?
Yeah,
to answer?
Right,
okay.
Right.
So I wanted to say though, the editor, just hats off to him, because the way they kept it so tight was you could have followed the mom on her whole journey and
sure.
followed the brother on his whole journey and the daughter on her whole journey and made it all separate. But what they do is you kind of realize there's parallels going on.
Yeah.
And you know what they're up to, and at the same time, like the impactful moments of that journey, you see them fighting a monster, and they do it in sync.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
So that you're like, okay, this is how they are escaping and hiding from them. This is how they're finishing the monster, and so by cutting back and forth, you cut out all that leading up to, and you basically infer what's going on while you're not seeing that character.
Yeah,
and it just cut all that time. But man, it was impactful too, because you see how the family is all handling it on their like. In
it
their
is,
own way.
It is a masterpiece of efficiency.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely
can,
it is.
Can almost sound like a backhanded compliment, but it's not.
Not for
it's
this.
Like when we see so many movies where you're just like.
Over explanations.
Why are we.
Why am I watching Krypton explode again?
Yeah. Like I don't need. Again, 45 minutes less of Army of the Dead would have made it a much better
yeah,
movie.
Absolutely.
That's what. Yeah. Yeah, it because the pacing threw the whole thing off. But this guy also did Black Panther and Creed.
Well, that. Makes
so,
sense
I
because
mean,
those
yeah,
are both
this editor
perfect
is,
movies.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Michael B. Jordan is one of the aliens.
Or he's the hero in the next one.
I know. And he did Honest Thief with Liam Neeson. I did not see that one.
I have not seen
nobody
that one.
Did. Just fine.
But no, I've never heard anyone talk bad about the editing.
No. I saying. Guess that's true. That's you
never
know what?
Heard, never heard a complaint.
You make a good point. Also, if they ever cast Liam Neeson in a Marvel movie, he's your Galactus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I feel like
be the voice of Galactus.
I feel like editing is one of those things where you tend to notice if it's good.
Yeah.
But, like, it has to be really bad for you to notice bad. I can't think of a movie where I was like, that's bad editing. Like, maybe
oh,
it has
Bohemian
to be.
Rhapsody. 100%.
Oh, that was bad
when they're
editing.
Sitting at that table, and I think there's,
okay,
like, 132
yeah.
cuts
yeah.
at a breakfast scene.
Okay.
Every line gets a cut instead of watching the character react.
Is that the editor, or is that?
That's the editor.
Okay. I'm just trying to think, like.
He won an Oscar.
For that movie?
For editing. For yikes. Bohemian Rhapsody.
So did Rami Malek, but, you know.
But, yeah, but I'm just saying, though, if anything was going to win an Oscar for editing.
I think that was the year, like, when they didn't.
That you said,
I'm done.
Watching the Oscar.
Well, it's also just like, so you gave Rami Malek a guy who, to his credit, looked just like Freddie Mercury.
That
right?
was about as close
okay.
to a compliment I could.
But you don't nominate Taron Egerton, who does the exact
freaking
same thing,
was.
But sings the songs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they were like, oh, we kind of just did this.
Good
which
Lord.
Is, which is what's such BS, yeah, because right. again, I mean, okay, I like Rami Malek. I watched Mr. Robot. I liked him in Short Term 12 or, you know,
yeah.
it was like the
you
first
loved,
time
you
I
You loved that Seven knockoff that he was in.
Oh, God, yeah, I don't, yeah, go back and listen to that, see if that's true. But so, like, I have nothing against him, but I didn't like his performance. He didn't sing the songs, and I thought the movie was bad, and I thought the editing was bad. Like, it just, it was not good. And then Rocket Man,
yeah,
phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Everything, the way they told the story, it was so much more personal. It was more truthful, because, you know, Queen was in charge of what they could,
yeah,
could
they're like,
not say.
Yeah. Can you not
and,
say that?
And that's why
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Thank you,
yeah,
dropped out. Is because
yeah.
he wanted to do a hard R that
yes.
really dug into the seedier side of rock and roll, and they were like, well, what if we made it a kid's movie?
Right. And Elton John is still alive, and he did it. He
yeah.
let them talk about how much of an asshole he was, his drug use, his cheating, his whatever. Like, he did it, and the movie is so much more powerful for it, because
yeah.
we all know the stuff that happened. Why make a movie
yeah,
and
not,
omit the
like,
stuff we know?
It's not like
yeah.
Freddie Mercury was a private person.
Right.
Right.
So, anyway, it's just, I mean, obviously they're concerned about how many greatest hits albums they're going to sell, and they think, oh, well, if
it
someone
worked.
Thought he was bad.
It did work.
And, it,
know,
worked.
It did work. But, yeah, so this one, there, it's a, we hear a radio station, a song comes on the radio that they've never heard, and it's Beyond the Sea.
By Bobby Darin.
And the kid and the girl.
Did Frank Sinatra ever sing a version of that song?
I don't think so. Frank Sinatra had so many albums.
I know. I just, to me, I always think of a version from Frank Sinatra, but I could be.
It's too high. It's too happy. I mean, I think you probably think of High Hopes.
I don't know. I just,
High Hopes
he
was like
he sang a lot of songs.
Yeah.
So.
so it's Beyond the Sea, and the girl, to the daughter, to her credit, immediately is like,
he did sing a version.
Look
okay,
at
good.
You.
That's the one that
look
I always think of.
And I always know the
Bobby Darin version.
The Bobby Darin.
Well, it's just because I thought Frank Sinatra in my head, just because I'm familiar with that version.
He's,
and then...
Well, even the Bobby Darin has got that very much kind of a crooner style
yes.
to it, you know?
So she basically, she's like, this is not just a song. Like, this is a message.
Yeah.
And she goes to a map, and there's these islands that are out, like, off the, because they never really explain where they are. I feel like they're in New York or the upper,
yeah, I think
upper East
up,
Coast.
I think
somewhere,
they're
somewhere in there.
New York, yeah. I think yeah.
But there's these islands that are off the coast, and so she's like, "This, we have to get to these islands."
Well,
like
because New York City obviously is not where they are. They are in like
right.
Main
New York
Street,
State.
Small town.
Yeah.
So it has to be wherever the more rural.
Yes,
but if you, as Midwesterners, we think of New York as New York City,
right?
But like once you get out of New York City,
right.
It's a pretty rural state.
Yeah, yeah, know? And but they have to. Like, so she. Tells the brother, she's like, I'm going, like, if I can get to this radio station, I can transmit this sound and we can stop this. The brother's like, no thank you, like, let's not do
I'm
that
gonna tell
like,
mom.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell
and
mom
it's an intense scene too, and I really, it's impressive, these actors are so good, and you know they're signing most of their stuff, but with the way that they use their emotion, and like Millicent Simmons, who is deaf in
yeah.
real life, the way that she
was, that was a fight for Krasinski, right? Like in the first one they wanted to cast like an actress, and he kind of went to bat for her.
I know
because,
that he did definitely
because she
her.
Was deaf.
Yeah, he had seen her in what was the movie she did right before this?
Quiet Place.
I'll look it up. But he had seen her in the movie that she had just done before she was cast in this. And Krasinski's like, I want her.
Yeah,
and you know, fought for her because he had seen her, and she is excellent. But just the way that they sign things and have such emotion, and you're having to read the subtitles to understand what they're saying, but. I mean, their face says it all.
Oh, yeah.
Without, even yeah. if you didn't read it. And it's phenomenal. These actors are all good. And there's only like five or six.
Wonderstruck?
Wonderstruck. That's it. I knew it was one. I'm like, not Wanderlust. But
that's
Lost.
A different
that's
movie
a really either. Bad Paul Rudd movie.
Yeah, unfortunately. Should have been funny. But
I know. Some people really like that. You know,
I
things come
like
around.
It.
Like, I hate it in theaters. And now people online are like,
no.
Wanderlust is amazing. I'm like,
I did that with the Wet Hot American Summer. I,
oh,
when
I
first
always
saw
that.
That
one.
I did not
oh,
like it at all.
That's great.
And I revisited
that
it.
That movie
like, oh,
has
so
never
good.
Worked for me.
I get
and
it.
And I like that
I get
kind
it.
Of comedy, and I like all those actors. And it was just like the whole time, just like, this is trying too hard to be weird.
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't click for
me. I get
me.
That. I liked it. Because to me, like, I always loved watching the indie stuff. Like, that's
yeah.
when I was really getting into film, and I saw all these indie movies, and I was like, yeah, it's weird, but I'm like, this is just a weird indie. Like, you taste like a burger. I don't like you anymore, to Elizabeth Banks.
The line that always cracked me up in that movie is when he's like, I want you inside of me.
Yeah.
That's
so good.
And everyone's in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. I
yeah.
mean, it's like
Paul
on
Rudd,
paper,
Astley.
I should love that movie.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, is the TV show any better? I know they brought it back.
It's, I mean, it's kind of the same. Yeah. It's kind of the same.
Yeah.
But it was fine. Yeah. So like, so she goes... Emily Blunt finds out that she goes, and she sends, this is the scene where they kind of hint that maybe they were in a relationship, or like there was just some tension between Lee and Emmett that may have been because
of Emily.
They're
supposed to be brothers, right?
They're not brothers.
Oh, they're not
brothers. Because he says when they're running away and Emmett's getting in his car in day one, Lee says to him, hey, can you check with your brother
that's in the army?
That's in the army.
Yeah.
So, like,
okay.
It would,
yeah.
you know, in theory, that'd be. But she says, you guys were best friends.
Yeah.
And you didn't even check on
us. Well,
I think
that, yeah, the tension comes in not because, like, they're brothers that are distant or something like that. The tension comes in because they were a family that did things together. The family knew each other. Like the two neighbors were like family. They went out to dinner together, whatever. They had this relationship. And then Krasinski's lighting fires, and Cillian Murphy sees them and ignored them.
Yeah.
And they were close before, so that was a huge slap in the face. She's basically saying, he might be alive if we had teamed up because you're still alive.
Right.
And you know what I mean? So that's where it really gets hard, but they were just like really close neighbor friends.
Okay, so I guess I kind of thought like there was maybe some tension because of Emily Blunt. Like if there were like
I think it's
you assume you assume that this is a small town, right? So that these people maybe have grown up in this town and kind of grew up together.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You could infer any of that.
But that's the best thing, though, right? Is they don't tell you.
Right.
They just let you. They just let you.
But I took it as she felt a little bit betrayed.
I could see that.
And she didn't like, and I love that they didn't make it one of those anger. There's not enough time, and I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah.
To be like, you didn't blah blah blah. She doesn't get mad at him. It's more sad.
She's sad.
Right.
Yeah. She says, yeah. Did you see him? Yes. Did you ever consider coming to help us?
No.
No. Point blank. And he's like, people have changed. You know, in the first one, don't you see don't they run into a creeper in the woods, a human that's still.
Maybe.
Aren't they going through the woods?
Oh, and then yes. Right? Yes.
So
yes.
We know people are bad because now it's
been
a year.
Oh, do we ever?
And it's been a year into this, over a year, and people are like, well, it's us or them, and they're going to, you know, fight for the food and resources and everything. And so Cillian Murphy basically was just like, you know, I had my own problems here. You know, he lost his wife.
That he lost both of his sons
in
day one.
He says he lost
his
kids, yes, because he says day one.
Day one.
Now, I thought it was going to... I really thought they were setting up for the Cillian Murphy's bad angle.
I was with you, and I was like, please don't.
Because when they're creeping, when the boy, they all get chased. They go from their house, and they go to where they see a smokestack, and they end up going to a...
It looks like a smelt, like a train
station or something?
No, it's like a...
Steel mill?
Steel mill.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they go into a steel mill and some noise happens and the kid gets his leg in a bear trap and one of the monsters comes to fight them and Emily Blunt, the daughter ends up doing the ear thing and making the thing stunned and then Emily Blunt shoots it in the head with a shotgun. Meanwhile, you see a sniper rifle like following them. And
right.
Clearly, you know, it's Cillian Murphy who they introduced earlier.
Yes.
So anyway, he's there alone and we find out that his wife had recently died. And then when they say like your boys and he's like day one. So then later, once everybody leaves, Emily Blunt to the pharmacy, the daughter's already left to go try to get beyond the sea.
Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt has tasked Cillian Murphy to go get the daughter.
Yeah, and so they're all gone. The boy's there with the little baby, and of course, you know, the little boy's like, "Okay, you stay here, baby." And I'm like, "Oh my god, why are you doing this?" And so he leaves out of the hiding place that they were in, and he goes poking around, and it was all intercut with the scary stuff everyone else is doing.
Yeah,
and then he's like seeing like suits hanging from the ceiling, and I'm like,
"What are we doing?"
And I'm like, oh God, what is Cillian Murphy up to? And he ends up finding a dead family member.
Well, it's his wife.
The wife, but you don't know this. I'm talking through like the process when I'm watching
The best part is though, is they never tell you. We as viewers figure out who she is because it's so fast, but it's the only possible answer.
Well, in bed, he said she was sick and then eventually ended up dying there. And this is where they've been hiding
out. I think he killed her. That's what I think.
Put her out of her misery?
Well, yeah, because he's like, she kept screaming. So because I mean, which I assume is cancer. Like the only
he had to kill her.
So yeah, he had to kill
her.
Otherwise,
Alan Alda on that like Hawkeye on that bus.
Yeah,
with the baby
with
chicken.
The Black Widow. I get it in Belarus.
What?
Yes.
Oh yeah,
Hawkeye. That's, yeah.
So anyway, so we see the body. And it's like, okay, it's the wife. He already said she was dead. Like,
right.
Oh, we get that. But I was like, are we gonna find the
what
boys
are we gonna find?
That he said died day one? They wouldn't be there in that place.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So they set it up for a nice head fake of is he evil now? Is he off with the daughter? But he's a bad guy.
But they do it. Yeah. But they do it twice with him, right? Where she goes to sleep at that train
station.
Stealing
the ear,
and then like
the implant.
He's gone. The implant is gone. The microphone is gone, and she's like on her knees. Crying because she thinks she's been played by Cillian Murphy, but then he walks back. He's like, I got a boat.
Yeah, because he was out using it for protection. Mm-hmm, he took her speaker and the earpiece in case he ran into them.
Right,
but he was scouting for the boats. So,
basically that's what happens. Is they find this island and they realize
these boats.
I got to tell you the best scene of this movie.
The boat one?
The scene at the dock. Like,
yeah.
I think
so,
this is a brilliant scene.
They get
scene.
To these boats and they're all sitting there and I'm like, wait a minute. So no one else like has thought to go get these boats and escape or anything. I thought that was kind of weird. But then we find that like the area has been overtaken
like
by Resident Evil people. Like if you've played Resident Evil 7 and the new one's 8 that's out.
Oh,
but,
you're right.
But
you're
7,
absolutely right.
7 is less monsters. Like the new one's like vampires and werewolves and stuff. But 7 is like creepy hillbilly,
yes.
Like just bad humans that are among all the weird zombie stuff. And so...
So Cillian Murphy finds a... a girl, a little girl, and immediately he like goes into dad mode because she's probably the same age as his
son. But you don't see her face.
You don't
see
her face. Why is your face down like that? And then all of a sudden she snaps up and puts a noose over his head and tightens it. But the noose is attached to glass
cans
bottles
and
cans,
yeah.
So he can't move. Like
clinky
clankies. Yeah, clinky clankies, right. So we see like the Resident Evil hillbillies come out and they start to, you think like, well, this girl
don't say anything.
Don't say anything. They can't say anything. Like creeper. That's the best part. That's, I know. That's so
like,
good.
It's so creepy. They look all like they're out of like a Rob Zombie music video or something, you know, they're
or
just
a Rob
like,
Zombie movie.
Right. They're just like that long hair. Yeah. Just like a, one of his.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so the long hair and they're obviously dirty and it's just like, ugh.
So yeah. They're so creepers. They're going to take her and Cillian Murphy can't do anything. And this is where we get the call back to the dive. Since they're on these docks, he does the sign for dive, which gives the daughter the opportunity to jump into the water.
And then she deliberately loses the fight.
Correct.
Because she misinterpreted what he meant by dive.
She literally took a dive.
Yeah.
And he, I
they
love,
should have been at a soccer match instead of a baseball. Right. It would have made way more sense.
Yeah. I love this scene where he stands up and like all the clinky clanky start and here come the...
How badass is this when he uses
him,
his clinky clankies to choke the guy out, you know,
and puts
like
him up against the thing.
This action sequence.
It's so good.
Cillian Murphy is a really cool actor, right? He has a distinct look. He's really good in all of his performances, and he can pull off badass just as much as he can, just good acting. And I thought this was great. This movie, if you played The Last of Us, this really gave
me
The Last of Us.
I'm so glad you said that because
Cillian Murphy is the Joel character and the little girl.
Yes, I know the folks at HBO, which is where that Last of Us adaptation is happening. We're watching this movie.
Have
going,
you seen
Mother?
Have you seen A Quiet Place?
They stole the idea.
Because
he looks like Joel.
That's what
she
I'm
looks
saying.
Like Ellie.
He's got the
like,
big beard, and then you've got the Joel and Ellie. And The Last of Us is a great video game.
It is. I haven't played part two, but
It's a masterpiece.
Yeah,
The Last of Us 2
is
the best film of last year.
Oh, really?
I mean, it is phenomenal. The storytelling, the acting, the everything. But it's a very similar dynamic. You have a father and a daughter character. They're not related, but he adopts her because his real daughter's killed by the zombies. And so he finds Ellie on the road and takes her on kind of like as to replace his.
Yeah.
Not to replace her, but.
But
he
like
gets,
a surrogate.
Surrogate.
It is,
yeah.
And so they go on the journey with all the zombies and stuff. And so this movie.
But the zombies even look like. These
oh my
monsters.
God, they do.
They,
yeah.
The clickers. Like, they even make the same
sound. The zombies in this movie look like a similar style very much so. Well, and because they, in the game, they can
click.
Pick up on sounds.
Yeah.
In this movie, they have the eardrums.
Correct.
Like, so, yes.
So, very
but,
similar.
But so when they give you a Joel
and
Ellie.
Well, they're doing sonar, right? Like, that's.
Yeah. It's, yeah. They. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
They're
yes.
clicking and then.
Bouncing
gauge,
back.
Yeah. Gauging it when it bounces back. Yeah.
But the game does. I mean, it's funny because the game and the movie do very similar things. But you've got. In this movie, as opposed to the whole family in the first one, you have a father-daughter out on the road. That's The Last of Us. So it's just interesting how they played into that. And it worked. I'm like, I'm watching this. I'm like, well, just make this your Last of Us movie. This is it.
This is it. You've already, Krasinski's already done it.
But I'm very excited for the Pedro Pascal.
Yes. And then
HBO.
Did they cast the Ellie?
I think so, but I don't know who it is.
So the Cillian Murphy and the daughter end up getting to this island, and as Cillian Murphy is like bobbing up and down in the water, he sees that these things can't do anything in water, like they're useless in water. I looked at the time, I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
So they get to this island, and it's almost like a cabin. It's like that's kind of what this little island is. We find Digimon Hanzu, who as soon as I saw him, I was like, well, he's the new Michael Bean. He's not going to last long. Like that's the way we're all with this guy.
You put him in this movie for, and then like he's pretty badass.
Oh yeah,
he's driving away from the monsters and all that stuff. But then after they get out of the car, he realizes what has just been happening. He's like, holy crap, and is just in shock. He just can't even.
Yeah,
move.
I have to go back because it's not here. Either way, so it is.
Oh, it's here.
Yeah, so they. Get to this island and everything's good. Everything they've got this place. They've got the radio station. There's no monsters here because they can't.
They can't swim.
They can't swim.
Well, they show up and people. There's electricity and people are just straight chilling.
Yeah.
There's a campfire, kumbaya,
it's
marshmallows.
I gotta tell you, it's almost like post-pandemic. I'm like, hi friends.
Yeah.
I see your faces and we can hang out again. This is nice and we can talk and be okay. But
I was also like, oh God, what is this going to turn into? Is this going to be one of those
like are
they
like
it's a cult?
It was going to my first thought even before we saw I can never say his name, but Digimon
Hanzu?
Pokemon, whatever. But that was like, oh, it's going to be like the others on Lost. Like you think it's a good.
Not good.
Thing.
That's what exactly the others is really what reminded me because I watched that recently. So it probably clicked in my head. But it's cool though. No, I mean, again,
it's
we
totally
don't have time
normal.
For that. 90 minutes. Like,
totally normal.
They're just people,
normal
like,
people
like, I'm glad you found us. Here's some hot cocoa. Here's a jacket.
We get an idea that like this was, they figured out that they couldn't do water. So there were like 12 boats from the National Guard waiting, but they started to attack and then. There were only two boats made it there. So Cillian Murphy's like walking around and he sees a boat from before that he knew had one of those things on
and
it.
This is after that really, really good scene, though, between him and
yes.
the daughter, because,
yes.
you know, earlier she says, you're nothing like him. And, you know,
and he's like, you're right.
Fight. And then they have this nice sit down at the, like, a pagoda overlooking the
Ooh,
water
good
and
word.
Everything. Yeah, and
I was
going to
say,
and isn't this where he ends up saying, you are.
Well, he says, you're right. I'm nothing like your dad, but you
yeah,
are.
And it's a really nice one. I mean, this movie packs some emotional
oh,
beats.
Yeah.
So then later he wanders off, but yeah. He
finds the boat.
The boat with the scratches. We saw that, like Joe said, they can't survive water. So one of them had just hopped on a boat, and it's that same boat. So,
yeah.
So he realized it just drifted to the island.
The orca. No.
Yes.
So yeah, now there's one on the island, yeah. and it is destroying everything. Yeah. Like
they
like
find
they
out
do.
Pretty quick. He's like, "There's one on the oh yeah, you know, okay. you saw him." Good.
Right. So they end up getting to the radio station. It's another very Aliens esque. Like they're trying.
Oh man,
to make
that
it,
scene with it, the T-1000ing on the back of the car.
Also, the scene where she's trying to get into like the sound booth, and like. Krasinski has done this where she's like, she can't see where she's going and she's about to step on a cup, but doesn't and like barely
oh,
misses it.
Yes.
She goes
oh
to like
God.
Step on the drawer, but goes right
that
over it. And I was
is,
like, you yeah. sneaky bastard.
That is probably
like,
the most stressful moment in the movie. What did you see all the crap on the table yeah. and you're like, oh my God, she could knock over anything.
Yeah. Or just the paper's going to slide out from under when
yes,
she's but I,
yeah.
but I love that it didn't because right. like we did that in the first yeah. movie,
yes,
right? Like
correct.
We did the nail thing in the first movie. So it's a nice callback, but it's also a nice head fake. So like,
yeah.
So they
that.
Play the, they end up playing
they do
the music.
They turn off the record. She puts yeah. The speaker, like the earphone yeah. into the speaker, and they end up killing the. Well, and while all of this is going on,
the the mom and the son and the baby are fighting an alien in the bunker,
correct,
and
correct.
The kids got always listening to the radio with his headphones on. I don't know where they're getting all the batteries from, but
it's a great question because I got to tell you, those D cell batteries do not last long.
Yeah, and the mom's gonna need some D cell batteries because the husband just died.
But Killian Murphy's still there.
Okay, maybe, but it's a little soon. It's a little soon.
It's also soon to take your wedding ring off, and you'll be like, "See ya, bud."
Touche.
Yeah.
But I think that was honestly more just like that was their memorial place.
Yeah,
and that was what she had that represented. Yeah.
That was the last, sure. that was yeah. all that was left of him.
Still a weird thing to give up.
That's what I said. That's what I thought.
That. Anyway, but so the it's nice because the daughter, while saving herself, inadvertently saves them because the yeah. son
correct
hears the noise and realizes
well,
what it is.
Gave him the strength.
Yeah.
He's like, he didn't think his sister would make it, and she ends up sneaking off and doing it. And when he hears that she did all that while being deaf, he's yeah. like, I need to step up. And as soon as he hears that, he's like,
well, and now yeah. he's got a weapon to yeah. fight with. Like
right.
they didn't have anything to fight the alien with, and because she had the cochlear implant.
Sure. Right.
So when they broadcast it, And then that's, you know, and then that basically that's when the movie ends and following the beats of the first one, which is like last time we knew how to kill one. Now it's like now we know how to kill all of them,
which is,
and
I mean,
let's see Spotify do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, SoundCloud. Figure it out. Yeah. So
that's
the
great.
kid picks up the gun, shoots the alien in the face, and that kills that one. The daughter ends up like shoving a pole through the other alien's head and they kill that one. And I do like this, the way this ends is like she pulls the pole like out of the alien's head and like it's a upward like pan up to her.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
And
cut to black, directed by John Krasinski. Like it.
Oh, man. I will say I went to the theater because I didn't have a choice.
Yeah. Same.
I was kind of freaked out. Didn't know what to expect. Didn't know what I was walking into. And I loved it.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
the sound. I went to the Ronnie's has like these DLX theaters.
Yeah.
I made sure to go to that one because I knew this one would be sound, in the forefront. So I wanted the best possible
DLX.
DLX. Yeah.
Sorry, no, that's DMX.
That's DMX.
Sorry.
And it was a great experience.
Yeah.
Like
no,
it was,
I mean, we all. I mean, the theater. If everyone's behaving, it's the people.
That's
yeah.
the, that's
yeah,
the question.
Theatrical experience.
Right.
Is,
yeah, right.
is,
yeah,
is
right.
great. And this movie.
I wasn't worried about the experience. I was worried about the people around me.
I only had three other people in my theater.
I had more than three, but it was also like I walked in and I was like, "Do I need to wear? Should I put my mask on?" And she was like, "Are you vaccinated?" And I was like, "Yes." And she was like, "No, you're good." I was like, "That's your criteria? You're just going to ask me?"
Well, yeah, that's how
that's
everyone.
No. It is totally. But it's also just like. Okay, now
if
we're going to see
go
how,
out of the house,
how this is.
Yeah.
I don't care about being asked, but it's also just like, all I have to do is say yes,
right.
Whether
well,
I am
saying.
Or whether I'm not.
You have, if you want to go out of the house, you have to know that is the criteria.
The world is now a giant take a penny, leave a penny.
That's exactly like, right. Yes. Yeah. Which,
well, they I mean, just, The Onion just did an article, or someone like The Onion just did a satirical take, because AMC and Regal, the other big theater chains, just announced no masks at all necessary.
Right.
Oh.
As long as your locality allows it. And so someone did the satirical article that now, as long as you're vaccinated or you just lie, you're good to go.
Yeah.
So because that's basically
that's
what
it is.
Yeah.
But
it was a good experience.
If you are vaccinated, you're pretty safe from it. And if you aren't vaccinated, well, then that's on you. And you're the one that will be suffering.
And I know that I was pretty down on going to the theater. Don't do it. Do whatever. I will say, this probably needs to be seen in a theater.
I think that's why they did it this way. And it's made like $60 million.
Good for it, so. Man. Like, it has to be the highest grossing pandemic movie, right?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Good for them.
So anyway, that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. Follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert, or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And, of course, check out our Patreon. So that's it for this one. Coming up next time, I have no idea. But until then, Sarah and James, make up.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.